Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 276 of Fourth and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Prime, and Mal in the building. Obviously, it's a great day to be Eagles fan and welcoming in the class of 2022. We had 10 picks, but at the end of the day, we got five nice little gems here, We'll start with Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis, to me, you talk about the longevity of Fletcher Cox and what he means to this defense. Some might question, does he want to catch double teams and beat double teams consistently? Maybe he's getting a little long in the tooth. We got a guy who's going to do that for him. So I think Jordan Davis is a guy that I think – the fan base is pretty happy with at this moment. I mean, I've seen some people poo-poo the idea of him as a pass, rusher, but I feel like he's going to push and collapse these pockets. But right off the bat, as we start with Jordan Davis going around, I mean, how are you guys feeling about Jordan Davis?
I'm excited as hell to have Jordan Davis, man. I mean, for a guy to be that size and move the way he does, that's a unicorn in real life, man. I mean, you don't just have guys that are 6'6", 341 that are running 4.7s. That's a very rare breed. I think that, I have even brought up concerns about where I said, I'm not sure if he'll be a guy that's down there as a three down guy, but This is a guy that is obviously still very young. He can develop. He can also shed weight. And to think that he would be completely ineffective in the passing game is just silly. I mean, you just look at his raw strength, his raw ability. The dude is still going to make it happen in the quarterback's backfield. He's just obviously way more effective in the run game. But, dude, I'm over the moon. We've addressed defense through free agency the past few years. I'm glad that we finally clamped down and got some young defensive guys in the draft.
Yeah, man. If it wasn't for the way things went, I'm ecstatic too. It took for everything to go the way it did for me to be on the level that I am about Jordan Davis. I'm really excited about it. He's a big dude. Every time I see his picture, though, man, it's just like, why you get like, dude, stop looking at me like that. Like, he's got like this look to him. Like,
he's mad dogging, bro. Yeah. That's how I want him to be, though. That's fine.
No, I get it. I mean, there goes again. Like, yo, just like fall back.
Chill out,
man. Yeah, exactly.
You feel like a snack over there, huh?
But, if I sit here and tell you that was like my number one, choice that day when we were, at the link for draft day, I'd be lying to you. I was all about getting, the safety from Notre Dame, and we ended up going with Jordan Davis. But it played out for the right moves. It ended up coming out good. So I'm excited about it. Looking forward to it. He's definitely going to go ahead and fill in the gap, you know, where we needed on that line. The line just got more and more better, you know, adding him on. And then, you know, with the rest of the additions we got on that day, I'm excited, man. That dude's a beast. Like, I can't wait to see him go to work.
It's huge, bro.
Yeah, man. I mean, tell me how many people you've seen shed a triple team. I'll wait. So, you know, I think that that's a big piece. You know, whether or not Fletch really wants to work with double teams, it's kind of out the window now. You know, whenever Jordan Davis is on the field, he'll be able to eat up a lot of that space, especially if they're looking to move into that 5-2 early down front. I mean, that just allows your monsters to, yeah, clutch. Very clutch. And we'll be seeing that again when Kobe comes back. You know, again, just watching Jordan Davis excited and really just thinking about all of the changes that can happen as like a residual effect of taking such a big person and putting them smack in the middle of your defense. We'll get into the undrafted free agents, but Noah Ellis is another person that is an immense human being. And so you see Philadelphia really making a very intentional sort of prioritization of big human beings. And I feel like we're, can't go wrong with that, right? Like the game is won in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and Jordan Davis is going to win more of his matchups than he loses.
Absolutely. Hey, you think about Jordan Davis. I think, you know, he came to Jesus moment where he's like, you know what? I might be a little overweight. You know what? I might be a little winded. The fact that he came into the combine at around 340, he started his career at Georgia around 380. Yeah. So you're seeing, you know, the evolution of Jordan Davis. I'd like to think that if he can, you know, become that pro, because I think that's really what it is at the end of the day, like these players becoming pros and how they train, how they eat, the fact that if he gets a personal chef and takes it easy on the gummy bears. And just
they're
realized,
organic now. They're organic.
Yeah. I mean, how he was saying that there were 6 cheesesteaks waiting for him when he got to the link, and he didn't really touch him. He didn't really touch him. So he's already starting. So, man, I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for him. I want to build off of Nina and just kind of give a little round of applause for Howie here. I mean, the past 2 seasons, not overthinking himself. Last year, going after 2 Alabama players that contributed huge. I mean, Devontae Smith, love him. Landon Dickerson, love him. Yeah. And now you go after Georgia wins the title, you go after 2 Georgia boys. Yeah. Howie, well done. Don't overthink yourself. Go and get the good guys, bro.
Right. Keep it simple, stupid,
keep
right?
It simple, you know, stupid.
Always.
That's what I've been thinking. Like, how we just kept it simple. Like,
that's all
again,
we're asking you to do, bro.
I mean, again, you know, like when we got to the second round, like I feel that's where people were like, "Hey, man, you're getting a little cute." But after further, you know, investigation.
I mean, you got from
it made sense. It made sense.
It's hard to downplay Kelce and listen to him be so adamant about that's who he picked and that's who he co-signed. So we're talking about Jason Kelce, not the mummer god, the, you know, the Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame lineman for the Eagles. We're talking about future NFL scout or like Eagles.
I don't know. To me, it seemed like Jason Kelce might have gotten away with Howie. Shut up for the moment. I got this. You know, I mean, this is the guy we're going to go with. So, I mean, I'm excited. Hey, for Jason Kelce to go ahead and speak on the fact that we made this pick in the second round, it definitely put an agreement. I mean, disagree with me if I'm wrong, but I think it put us all at ease on that pick, realizing that, you know, it was needed for the future because, you know, Jason Kelce is going to pretty much hang it up after this year.
Yeah, no, and I felt the same way, and I said the same thing prior to going to the draft. I mean, before Kelce announced that he was going to be coming back this year, Tyler Linderbaum was on my draft board. He was a guy that I saw him play in college. I saw how he was able to get 25 yards downfield and still be a lead blocker, and I'm like, that is like a carbon copy of Jason Kelce. So I wanted that, but then when Kelce came back, I'm not going to take Kelce out of the lineup. But after Cam Jurgens ends up getting drafted, I go and watch that video where Kelce is just, he's completely adamant And he's being completely genuine. He's just saying, you know, this is the Eagles came to me. They asked me, who do you see the most in yourself? And he went and did the research. He went and looked at the guys. Cam Jurgens is a guy that was it's not like he was, you know, this middle of the pack center. He was the second ranked center behind Linderbaum. And I think that if Kelce co-signs that, he knows a hell of a lot more about the position than I do. And I trust that man's word.
Yeah, I went back and watched the Jurgens tape, put the article out. I wasn't sold on it, even with Jason Kelce co-signing it. He's co-signed some people previously that didn't necessarily work out. And so I trust my eyes. And watching Jurgens, you see two things that really jumped out to me. Athleticism, which Hearn, you were just talking about, and intelligence. You see him making the line changes. You see him changing up the protections. You see him identifying on the outside like blitzers and actually having the physical capability to get outside. I really love him as a run blocker, moving forward, able to use his athleticism. Pretty strong hands. If he gets his hands on you, you probably aren't going to get away. And then him pulling, my God, bro, he was demolishing folks on pulls. And so I love that aspect of it. Not as far along as a pass blocker. Really got his behind kick versus Oklahoma. And struggled in pretty much every game that I watched in pass block sets, just because he really doesn't have a well-developed like lower body as of yet. A lot of his strength comes from his upper body. And so a lot of that is just technique and timing. You know, I'm glad that he won't be pressed into starting this year. I think that he would have a tough time, and I don't see him sliding over the guard this year. I don't think that that's in his best interest. I think overall he'd be a much better dude to redshirt, learn from Kels, learn the system, step in 2023 and hit the ground running. But yeah, I changed my opinion, man. Watching the tape, you see a lot of plus attributes. You see a dude that just needs refinement. And if he gets said refinement, he could definitely play the pivot for us for a long time.
I mean, the fact that you have a offensive lineman with some twitch, you talk about a guy who played linebacker, tight end in high school, converts once he gets to Nebraska. The fact that, you know, he converts, he never played center before. He gets 31 starts in 32 games, becomes like the first freshman ever to start at center for Nebraska. So, I mean, you know, that athleticism you like, you like him on the move. You know, they mentioned in the presser that they do see him with that versatility. Maybe not right away, but I feel like at the end of the day, if they like his movement skills, maybe he can give you something as a depth piece. You know, we just got rid of Herbig. So maybe they feel, you know, they can start moving some pieces around. But overall, I think Cam Jurgens, the pick, wasn't like overly did everyone back that move? I think some people had, you know, other directions they wanted to go, but they're really going after the trenches. Moving right along to number the third pick in the third round. I cannot believe this man.
That word fucked you up.
Yo, son. I showed my wife the video, bro. She was crying, so she was like, oh, man. She was like, I would have said the same thing. So I ain't feel. Listen, that's proof. When people try to say I'm smart, I'm going to just show them old cheetah and be like, listen, here to prove that. Contrary,
sir. For people that didn't watch the live stream, Mal struggled with
butchered it.
Wachita State.
Yeah,
he was calling
Wachita Baptist. Yeah,
he was calling Owachita.
Yes, sir.
Owachita Baptist. But the Kobe Dean, man. I think guys were insanely excited. The whole fan base. I think the whole NFL landscape. All the scouts. Everybody in the NFL couldn't believe that Nakobe Dean fell. Nakobe Dean. We're talking about a field general. That has the IQ and the makeup you want from day one. You think about the third round when we got Davion Taylor, who was a raw prospect who could move, but the IQ wasn't really matching the athleticism. Here we got a guy whose athleticism matches the IQ. He's a field general in the waiting. I think you can get an idea what you're going to get from him because you saw him playing in, you know, behind Jordan Davis, so you could see where he's you know, comes up in blitzes. He's a solid blitzing linebacker. But at the end of the day, like him holding his players accountable, all the players will tell you who led that Georgia defense, and it was N'Kobe Dean. So the fact that he fell due to some medicals, you know, he was a little concerned why he fell. You know, everyone's talking about the pec and some other injuries that he has. But how he says he's ready to go. You guys believe that?
Go ahead, bro. No, I was saying the man himself said he was ready to go. So, I mean, he knows his body better than anybody. I don't know if it was the hype, the excitement. But, I mean, you know, just hearing that come out of his mouth, like, we were all there, like, you know, that day when we picked him, we were like, shit, are we going to, you know, are we going to really see this kid this year, or are we going to have to wait a whole nother year? But, I mean, you know, for him to come out and say, hey, listen, I'm ready to go. I'm fine. You know, it definitely put a positive on the whole situation. So, you know, being called the general on your college squad and then coming into the NFL, like, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the future general to go ahead and lead that defense. And, you know, I'm seeing some of the tapes, seeing some of the, you know, the videos on this kid and the way he's, like, leading that defensive line, or, you know, putting people in place, and the way he's speaking to them as plays goes on. That's the type of leadership that, you know, we definitely want to look, you know, down the line for. And, you know, it was a steal, man. Getting him in the third round at that spot, it was like the perfect scenario.
Dude, the fact that Howie Roseman was able to pull this one off, man. I mean, we were just talking about Cam Jurgens going in the second round. You want to talk about a redemption pick? This was the one, man. This was the pick of the entire draft right here, being able to secure N'Kobe Dean at 83. It was funny because as soon as we got him, I texted my dad, who was a big-time Alex Singleton stan for the longest time. Yeah. And I texted him, finally, this is your Alex Singleton replacement. I'm just sending him the highlights. I was like, trust me, he's much, much better. But no, dude, it's perfect. Like I said, this is the absolute just steal of the draft. If he's able to go by week one, if he's able to go even by like midway through the season, I'd be super happy with N'Kobe Dean. And do we have Gio to thank for this? I mean, he did make the play.
For the love of God, Howie.
He made the play. Hey,
gotta give the kid credit. Gotta give him credit.
Now, N'Kobe, man, love the pick. Watching him on tape, you rarely see him make any false reads, right? And like, I think that that's really important. You mentioned Davion Taylor, who was brand new to the position. N'Kobe's a seasoned veteran. That was the engine of the best defense potentially of all time. And so that says a lot. He's also able to play in pass coverage, which is huge. One of the slept on things is his ability to rush the passer. You know, because he's so small, he's able to like slip through these cracks between offensive linemen. And if they can't get him, if they can't block him, get a good hand on him or move him out of the way. He was getting to the quarterback. He was absolutely demolishing some folks in the SEC. And so really excited about it. My one thing with him is just his size, right? That like when offensive linemen were able to get their hand on him, they were able to move him around. He doesn't really have like a secondary sort of pass rush move to get to or a block shed move to get to. But that comes with time and coaching. You know, excited, man, about N'Kobe Dean. Excited about what he'll be next to Kazir White and with TJ Edwards, this linebacking core is arguably the most physically talented one we've had
in a minute,
in a very long time. Right. Late. So we went from not prioritizing the position to like pouring two really important assets into it. So yeah, I'm geeked up, bro.
And then you got
that picture up there. So Gail, throw that picture up, Gail.
You got people. What's called? I saw Cowboys fans today that were trying to argue that Damone Clark was a better.
Not that picture. Show that Gale face.
Yo, I know.
Show that geeked up face.
It's
the moment that N'Kobe got drafted.
There it is.
I didn't even know they were taking that photo during the draft, but I
had the screenshot ready to go. I was just perfect. Ready to release the mouse as soon as Gale made a face.
I couldn't believe that we got him. He's a guy that I was studying intently. Yo. We got a heat sinking missile to our defense now. Like before, like we didn't have any of that. We have a guy in there that I trust. Like in, you know,
yeah.
Can the bigger tight end maybe get have their way with him a little? I want to see him in coverage against the bigger tight ends in the league. But overall, I just feel like he's a guy that I just trust him, man.
He doesn't have to take that on, right? Like, we have Kazir, we have TJ Edwards, like, we have dudes that are a little bit bigger that might be able to be tasked with that. And so I'm not necessarily worried about him in coverage versus some of these really big tight ends. I'm more concerned about his size in the run stuff, right? Like, if can he make the fits? Can he get in there and can he hold his own in the NFL?
The big boys.
Yeah, stack and shedding versus some behemoth offensive linemen. I think that that's the question that he has to – can he play safety? That's the question he has to answer. But shit, coverage, not concerned about that, man.
But his defensive linemen in front of him are going to keep him clean. So yeah, at the end of the day, but the other thing about it is his mental makeup, man. The IQ is like, he's a mechanical engineer. The smarts, the books has always been important to his family. His father is actually a doctor. So, I mean, talk about smarts. I think at the end of the day, off field, on the field, he's got some big aspirations. I don't, bro, like, there's so many, you could keep going, like, thinking about the draft, but also thinking about the pieces that we also brought in. I think we kind of skipped a player. You know, it's not actually the draft, but
it wasn't a draft.
It's part. We gave the 18th overall pick for this man, AJ Brown, bro. Like, say it with me. AJ Brown. We got one A and one B, dog. Like, come on, we're cooking with gas now.
We are.
Yeah, we got the sazon. We got the seasoning. We just need the offense to come through. Passing attack. Here we come. I mean, are you guys still geeked about AJ Brown?
I mean, dude, we're talking about a guy that 100% transforms your entire offense. If there's only one nitpick issue I've got, and it's not even with AJ Brown. It's with the fact that I have a how do I put this? I have a gifted child. We just drafted last year, and I need him to be pushed. I need him to be pushed so he can progress. And if I got Darius Slay going up against AJ Brown in practice every day, Zach McPherson isn't going to be able to give Devontae Smith the challenge he needs. I need another corner, bro. That's my only complaint.
Well, we're talking about AJ Brown.
Gifted child, bro. I don't want my gifted child to be ruined.
Before you get all hype, I mean, look what Howie did with the contracts here. See how the contracts are set up. Shout out to Spot Track here. AJ Brown's Eagles contract, 5 years, $104 million, $39.9 million guaranteed at signing. Another $17.2 million next March. 3 years, $57.2 million practical. 3 years. The cap hits 2022. Look at that, $5.6 million, $8.5 million in 2023. And then it pops up to $27.6 million in 2024, 2025, $22.6 million, 2026, $37.6 million for a wide receiver. Today's prices.
What is that dead cap in 2026, bro?
My guess is probably negligible, to be quite honest. It's probably not. It's probably a bunch of, like, roster bonuses and stuff like that that don't hit the hard cap would be my guess.
Okay. Mm.
Man, but again, prime. I mean, you were asking for that veteran wide receiver.
I was. I mean, when it happened, it threw me off. You know, I was there, kind of like shocked, knowing that we ended up trading the number 18 and a couple more picks for AJ Brown. Just like I admitted that night, I admit to you guys now. It took me some homework to do over the weekend. And, Maul, this was without you advising me. This is without anybody advising me. This is something I went and did on my own. All right, because I needed to be bought into this dude, and I'm so bought in. This dude's got some strength to him. The interview that he did the other day, his intensity to come in here, and he's got a goal. He made it very clear. He's got a goal. You know, he's got a little connection with Jalen Hurts already. Yeah. You know, I didn't even realize that he was at his draft when he got drafted. You know what I mean? So the friendship is already there. The connection is already there. So I'm already all bought in. You know what I mean? it's exciting. At that spot, I was hoping for N'Kobe Dean, but at the end of the day, we ended up getting N'Kobe Dean anyway. So I was good. But I'm definitely all in on AJ Brown, man. Excited. I know you sent us a link yesterday to go ahead and replace the names on the back of the jerseys. I'm glad I didn't get rid of none of these Wentz jerseys, because now I'm getting the names replaced on all of them, and I'm good to go, baby.
I reached out to I said I was going to give him a shout out on the podcast.
There you go.
Twillworks. You can find him at twillworks.com or on Twitter at twillworks. That's TWILLWORKS. They can get you new nameplates for any jerseys that you have. That's the cool thing. I got.
Will they put that on for you, or they just ship you a new nameplate? Okay.
They ship you the nameplate, and I think they're iron on patches.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
the funny thing is, I put it out there. We had a little, you know, we had some butthurt fans in there. Like, how are you going to disrespect Wentz? Like, I was like, it's not. I was like, some people got like four Wentzers.
Look, of all people that has been a very defensive person when it comes to Wentz, man, stop y'all shit, man. It's over. Yeah, that relationship is like way back there. The man is still up here, but it's way back there. Like, get over that shit.
It's like talking about a high school girlfriend at this point.
Yeah, stop, man.
I'm in the comments, like, you know, sending people. I'm like, dude, like, people got like five Wentz jerseys and they're just sitting there and they're not going to wear that. And that person is me. I got about three of them,
man. I'm ready.
And I got the vapor ones. I got the vapor ones that are just sitting there.
I'm with you, Mal. I'm with you, Mal.
That was never happening.
I got a Wentz jersey at best.
That was never happening. And so, Hearn, you were asking, so the out for AJ Green's contract 2025. It's $15 million dead cap, so it's really three-year, $57 million
dollar. That's not what I thought it was going to be.
Contract, yeah. So it's a relatively easy out. Mm-hmm. Love the AJ Brown, man. Like, you know what he brings to this team is something that we haven't had maybe since Terrell Owens, right? It's like a big physical, fast wide receiver, right? Because you know, we've had some other big wide receivers, but somebody as fast as he is, and you know, I was talking to some folks on Twitter, a third of his overall receiving yards in his career were yards after the catch. And so like, that's just an indication of how well he's able to get his hands on the ball, but actually do something with it. And he's somebody that seeks out contact, which I love. And his size is like at 6'2", 225. Like, he's built like a running back, right? Like, you see what Debo was able 4% to do in San Fran.
5%.
Yeah. He plays off the defense very well. Like, he's off that defender very well. And that was one of the things that I was eyeing as I was watching the videos on him. The way he plays off with these defenders is what I was asking for, what I've been begging for, and here we got it out of him.
Dude, he can beat
CB1s, man. Like, he could beat your best cornerback all game long. And so if you switch him and you go and you allow Devontae Freeman open run, if you give Quez Watkins open run, we still have Zach Pascal. We got Britton that is coming in as an undrafted free agent. Like, Jalen Reagor, even though we don't know what he could be, he's here. We still on the roster as of right now. So you could throw him out there and tell him run around in circles. Who gives a shit, right? Definitely Basura, without a question. But like, you know, again, we were talking about the linebackers earlier. When was the last time we were this deep at such an integral position in the NFL with this many skill position players that could change the game? All right, dude, let's get creative on offense. Let's get busy now.
I'm glad Will just brought up T.O. as well, because I don't know if I'm out of pocket in saying this, but like, if I'm looking at pure playing style of a wide receiver, the last time we had a guy like A.J. Brown is T.O. It's not Max, and it's not Deshaun. Like, he's more of a T.O. build, man.
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely. And that is fucking exciting, bro.
Hell yeah. I got tired of seeing our wide receivers get manhandled, bro. You know what I mean? I'm not taking nothing away from Devontae, because he did his thing to get away from the defenders. But you look back at J.J., you look at Jalen Reagor, they were getting manhandled. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they were getting manhandled, bro. So like, now that we pick up this dude and the way he's got on him, I wish to God, please,
bro,
put your best CB1 on though.
I keep on going back to, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night like, oh, we got AJ Brown. Go back to sleep. It's crazy. it's like the gift that keeps on giving. And then right after that, I'm like, oh, we got Hassan Reddick. Oh, like, come on. Bro, like, I think Howie really knocked it out the box.
you know, again, as much shit as we give Howie, it's looking really good right now. But what else was I going to say?
Well, just look at it like this, right? We left day one and day two with Jordan Davis, AJ Brown, Cam Jurgens, and N'Kobe Dean. My God, Joe. Right? Like, are you kidding me? After trading out of the first round, right? Like, we trade. So only one of those people came as a first round pick. The other one was traded, and we get N'Kobe in the third. I mean, you know, again, we talk about how we think he's the smartest person in the room. Sometimes you just got to take the talent that's there, and I appreciate him for that. Cam Jurgens to me was still a little bit of a stretch, but he had the foresight to listen to Kels and take a position that's integral to that offense. So, you know, if Jurgens hits, forget about the rest of it.
I'm not sure if you remember who was on the board at the time, but like, if you hadn't gone Cam Jurgens, where would you have went, Mel?
It was still a couple of corners on the board. There was still, you know, some folks. I was real big on Nick Benito, who went after Cam Jurgens. I thought that he'd be a phenomenal understudy for Hassan Reddick. But in reality, you know, I default to the folks that do this every day for a living and get paid a lot more money than I've ever made in my life. So, yeah, if they say that that's the pick, shit, they got big checks to prove it. I'm broke. So, hey, man, do what you're doing.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, I felt good as soon as after Kelsey was talking. I'm like, okay, you co-sign, Stoutland co-sign. I'll just fall back and do what I do, and we'll wait and see. Wait and see moment. Wait and see moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving right along, you know, like, you know, we ended up picking up a former teammate. It's almost like a, you know, we're picking up Jalen's best friend, a former teammate, Grant Calcaterra from SMU. He started. Did we?
Yeah.
Kyron?
This is the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, well, Kyron. Kyron is. Kyron? Yeah, Kyron's next. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Kyron Johnson. I was going to the theme of the. I was going to the theme of it. You know, like AJ Brown, the best friend. Now the tight. The former teammate at Oklahoma. Dealt with some concussions, but we'll go back. We'll go back to him because Evan.
Yeah. I'm just trying to stay chronological.
So the Eagles pick up Kyron Johnson, a guy with tweener traits. But at the end of the day, he could bend the edge. He's got some dog in him. You seen him against Trevor Penning. And I was like, Trevor Penning at Senior Bowl, I'm not even out there playing. But I'm like, can someone fuck this dude up? Because he's out here being a dick to all these defensive linemen. So they're like, it was almost like, no, let me go. So they're trying to kill this dude. And Kyron comes in and yokes, like, bends him back. And all the defensive linemen were like, you know, high five, and Trevor Penning's like, you know, pushes him after the play. I'm like, bro, you just got bent in half by a guy half your size. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's the kind of – he's got that juice. He's very multiple. You can move him around. Again, he's a guy that, you know, he runs a 4.4, dude.
Yeah. He runs sub 4.4. He's like 4.37, 4.39s, man. Like, the boy can move.
Sanity, dude. Yeah. That's absolute sanity.
I don't think people were super excited about off the rip about, you know, Kyron, but I feel like,
I mean, it's if you're just taking it for what it is, he was a 6th round pick. I mean, it's a guy that is ultimately a project. He has good raw skills, but he needs to be, you know, polished down if he's going to be a contributor in this league. So it's just not a guy that's ready to go day one.
I mean, I like the fact that Kansas finally figured out how to use him.
Am I coming across as stoic today?
Very much so. Very, very stoic, yo. I love it.
Class, bro.
But, I love the fact that they figured out how to use him. He was playing some, like, inside linebacker. He was stand-up rushing. They put his hand in the ground this year. He had the highest number of sacks, a good amount of tackles for loss. I don't think that he ever develops into a full-time player. Rotational dude at best. But realistically, like I put on Twitter earlier, two things I know about him for sure. He's fast and he can tackle. And so I think that he'll end up being like a special team standout.
Yeah.
Running that 4.37, 4.39 at 6'2", at 6 foot, 230 pounds. I mean, he's a menace, right? Like I can see him on pretty much all coverages and being able to make some plays. And he did show some juice off the edge, man. He was able to get to some quarterbacks. Similar to N'Kobe Dean, is not really a refined block shedder. And so, like, that's the piece that he'll really need to focus on is, like, when you are getting stymied by somebody bigger than you, you can't just run up their chest. How do you get free? What's your secondary pass rush move? Or what's your secondary go-to? But, man, he's fast. He could tackle. Like Heron says, sixth rounder. What more can you ask for?
He also had 17 special teams tackles. I know Waddle was very excited about, you know, him, you know, on special teams. You're adding a guy like that into the mix. You know, when you're on special teams, you got to have a certain kind of crazy. And I feel like
be a dog, bro.
Like you might have some of that.
That's what I'm looking forward to, seeing that dog come out of that boy.
Yeah, he's a dog. He's definitely
a dog. He looked like he got it. He looked like he got it.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of dogs, you know, we're moving right along to because we're getting chronicle with it. Grant Calcaterra. You might have heard this before.
Oh, jeez. Golly gee.
You might have heard this guy. You might have heard this guy's story before.
There's the excitement.
We got
excitement.
Damn. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now.
Cheer up, Evan.
That's what we're doing now.
Oh shit.
Evan, can you just be a little bit more positive?
That's what we're doing.
So we got a former teammate of Jalen Hurts, a guy who, you know, this guy was best friends with Mark Andrews, Baker Mayfield as well. But he dealt with some concussions, man. And the concussion scene out here is kind of scary. You look at guys that have had multiple concussions where you're thinking over their careers. He decided to opt out and basically retire. Fact that he was almost a fireman. He took EMT classes. He was ready to take that next level in his life. He's looking at the 2020 draft, and he's sitting there like, bro, I could do this, though. He ends up going to Auburn and ends up transferring to SMU. So you're talking about a guy who's figured, you know, I got one more shot to make it. I'm not done yet. I'm not finished. Job finished. Not finished in my Kobe voice. He's back here at it like a crack addict. And he loves some football because when you get that many concussions, that's kind of crazy.
And scary, dude.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I think that he has a skill set that could be used and he could contribute. The only thing that I fear is that if he gets cracked once in the NFL, is that going to be where he calls it? You know what I mean? Like you said, he already has retired in college, stepped away from the game in fear of what I think was a smart decision. If you are fearing your mind like that, that's the most important organ that you have. You have to protect that. And, you know, I think he's a guy that he obviously has a lot of will and he did what it took to get to the league. I just hope that he's a guy that sticks around.
Yeah, absolutely. I love them on tape. Definitely presents as like a big slot. Folks were knocking him for his inline blocking. He wasn't asked to do very much of it at SMU. That offense ran through him and Danny Gray. Really good route runner, has a strong concept of understanding of how to get open with zones. The SMU quarterback did him no favors. He still made tons of plays. I think it's the same thing as Hearn. I almost cringed watching him play because, you know, like one big hit could be it for him. But he put it all on the line, man. Like, I respect the hell out of this kid. You know, he never pulled up. He was always in on the play. He was always putting his body on the line, knowing that, like, this could be it. Shit, who am I to root against somebody like that, right? Like, I'm always going to root for somebody that's putting their role out there every single day. And I think that he epitomizes the city of Philadelphia in a lot of ways, like that blue-collar mentality that this city has been built around for ages. And so, and he's also talented. He's not just a tryhard. So, you know, he went from a dude that was highly regarded at Oklahoma to understudy to Mark Andrews to a sixth-round afterthought. And, you know, if he could play out his rookie deal, this was 100% worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about, you know, the first five picks, you know, we started off a 10 selections.
narrowed it down to five. You know, Howie's like, you know, I wasn't really happy with the number, but we got there. And he got some guys. So at the end of the day,
let's look at that back half of the draft, though. I know that we talked about how he was trying to get out of those 5 through 7 rounds because there wasn't really – it was slim pickings at the back end of the draft. But, like, look at how day three really went. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw that many specialists go off the board. And if we're talking about it's a day full of kickers and punters and everything being taken, what really kind of talent is there to be taken? We were sitting here on the live stream talking about arguing over, oh, we should take this punter in the 6th round. If that's what we're arguing about, maybe the talent that's out there isn't really that strong. And that's why we get the hell out of there.
I do think the punter from San Diego, he's a dog, but I think it's fun to call a punter a dog, but bro, he's bombing them out there. But just in general, like that. I think the end of the draft, I think there's a lot of guys that probably had the same grades. Yeah. You know, and we spoke about Daniel Jeremiah speaking about the way that the draft is set up. Like you even saw it. You even saw the Ravens with six picks in the 4th round. Mm-hmm. Was that six picks in the fourth
like
round?
Like that, yeah. And they cashed in on every last one.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jeremiah was saying pre-draft about, like, how the draft is set up and where did Jeremiah make his teeth? Like, where do he make his money at? Working with the Ravens. So mm-hmm. I mean, it was just fun to see how that worked out. But looking like the Eagles did their homework. They got some guys that as UDFAs, one player that a lot of people are excited about. Some people were saying he was a third mid-round talent. I remember in previous podcasts, Evan, we talked about Carson Strong. I said, if he's there in the mid rounds, I said, I would take him on the Eagles to develop. Mm. Not only did he pass the fourth round.
That's why he was smarter than us.
Didn't he pass the fourth round, but the man slips out of the complete draft. I mean, he goes undrafted, but at the end of the day, his knee, like the one conversation I had shared with you guys earlier when I was sitting next to Kempski at Senior Bowl watching, I said, what do you think of Carson Strong? Where, you know, everyone was pretty much in awe of his arm talent all week. And he did have one bad practice where he was throwing some punts in the wind. But I was like, what do you think of Carson Strong? He's like, yeah, his knee's fucked. He said his knee is fucked, and that's you're thinking about the way he was so adamant. I was like, bro, like that bad? And he's like, that bad. We're talking bone on bone. He's got some biodegradable nails in there. He had an injury in high school, and then last season coming back from surgery on his knee, he wasn't 100%. Like Evan made mention a couple podcasts, he had like a negative 200 yards rushing for the season. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, Carson Strong, he's going to like got some arm talent, but he is not going anywhere. He's kind of pretty much as a sitting duck in the pocket, but arm talent.
Do you think that some time to heal is what he needs? Like if he just red shirts this entire year, essentially, do you think that that knee could get back to a place to where it's playable and he's we're willing to risk it? Or do you think that is it, like, I mean, bone on bone sounds to me like that is just, that's chronic. That's, you're never going to be able to regrow that cartilage.
Well, he had that cadaver problem. You don't mute my G. He had that cadaver procedure. So he has dead people's ligaments and shit now. And so, you know, you hope for the best. I mean, bone on bone is tough. I think that a year off or like very minimal time on it could be helpful, right? At least in the very end is delaying the inevitable. Bone on bone trying to play in the league is tough.
Mark is right. Cartilage doesn't grow back. You know what I mean? Bone on bone is no joke. Kind of dealing with that a little bit on my right knee. It's nothing to play around with. But the resume that Gale ended up just breaking down with all the injuries, man, it's like, shit, I think the dude needs a few years to go ahead and recover. Like, it's crazy. But, I mean, hey, if it's a risk that Howie decided to go ahead and take, we'll see.
Is there any kind of crazy knee brace we can put him in? It just acts as a body brace.
That's the one thing I forgot this past weekend as I'm playing softball. Like, I forgot my knee brace. Like, bro, it's no joke. you start feeling that pain is just, it gets more and more aggravating as the day goes on.
He also had a collarbone fracture. So, I mean, he's been beaten up during his time. And I feel like, but, you know, I'm last night round, I had to get up at 4:45 to come to New York City to work today. But, like, I was like, go to bed or watch Carson Strong tape. I chose Carson Strong's tape.
I was like, could you
just take your ass to bed? And I was like, I got to watch this.
So watch the tape, bro.
Bro, like, I'm watching some of the throws that he's making, and, like, the arm talent is definitely, you know, just go watch some of the tape. The QB school is a great, you got some great breakdowns of just, he's throwing a ball into, like, triple coverage. He's done it multiple times. You go through this footage. He'll throw a ball into triple coverage. He'll trust his arm. Like, that's a thing where, I mean, those kind of big boy throws, that's what people will be like, whoa, like, yo.
He had a couple of those at the Senior Bowl too, right? Like, in the practices, you see him making some tough fits. You know, he has confidence. He's a gunslinger. And there's always been a space for those, but you also have to have it between the ears. And that was one of the knocks on him coming out of the draft, was that aside from the bone-on-bone knee injury and the collarbone issues, was the fact that, like, he also didn't have a really comprehensive understanding of his offense at Nevada. And so that really alarmed a lot of scouts for somebody that should have a much stronger understanding of the offense or of NFL offenses. But, I mean, this is a kid that's going to be asked to sit, right, hold clipboards and just learn. So I'm like, listen, it could go much worse, right, than a kid that has the physical skills. It's like Calcaterra. They have the physical skills. It's the injury intangible of, like, how long until. When you're getting a kid in the sixth round or a kid that's an undrafted free agent, shit, I'm waiting all day. What the hell are you paying them? $300,000?
Exactly. I think that, you know, just looking at it, I think if you were to take his arm and put it on Jalen's body, you got exactly what you need in a quarterback. Shit. But, I mean, I'm kind of just, if, like,
Jalen had Carson Strong's arms.
That's,
he might have been the one overall.
So you want Jalen, like, Strong. That's what you want?
Yeah, but I do like Jalen Strong as an undrafted free agent, but my whole point is that, fuck, like,
up, yeah.
You talk about Jalen Strong.
You call him Jalen Strong.
the whole point. Where's the screenshot at? His time in Nevada. You talk about how you know, he's thrown into triple coverage. He's trusting his arm and he's able to get it done. Yeah. That type of luck's not going to continue in the NFL. I mean, that was at Nevada. When you get up to the NFL, that's even a step beyond the SEC. A huge step beyond the SEC. So there's going to be guys in the NFL that are going to be able to close on those throws. And that triple teams, you're not going to be able to get away with that shit. But I'm sure he knows that. And by sitting and holding the clipboard for a year, hopefully he picks up on that.
But the fact, I mean, he can do it.
Right? Yeah, that's,
like, that's the piece, is that he can physically do it.
Right.
That shit is impressive, man.
Because if you see, like, you'll see a throw that you, you'll see a throw and you're like, bro, like that throw right there, that translate, or you see him throw across his body, or throw, you know, to the hashes, or, like, I mean, to the, like, an out route, and make a big boy, you know what I mean? That it's
opposite hash. Hell yeah.
That's the kind of shit where you're just like, all right, you got that on lock.
And that's one of the hardest throws to make in the NFL, dude. The deep out from the opposite hash. Come on now.
That's if you see the pocket collapse, and then you see man's like, he's like, sticking, I ain't going quicksand nowhere.
And shit, right?
I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Moving right along, we'll go Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma, running back. He's got the smooth glasses. Looks like he's doing trigonometry. got 240K. Got 240K. So obviously the Eagles are shelling out money. You know, he's got some power to his game, dude. What did you guys think of Kennedy Brooks?
Dude, I mean, there's nothing that you can say wrong about a Sooner running back, man. I love the Oklahoma running backs. He's obviously he's a good talent, but, you know, he's another UDFA. How much can he contribute? I mean, I don't think that he's going to come in here and move anybody off their spot. I think that how our running back room is set up right now is kind of how it's going to be. I don't see anybody really getting pushed out.
Are you calling him a jag?
Calling him a jag.
Just the guy.
I think the wild part with UDFAs and running backs, it hits a little different because they get pushed down the board, right? And so, like, when you see talented kids end up undrafted free agents as running backs, I tend to give it a little bit more credence. Like, I'll lean a little bit more into them versus some of these other skill position players. And so with me, I mean, Kennedy Brooks, the PFF shared it. He had the second highest running back grade since 2014. I wouldn't call him just another guy. He showed some wiggle. He showed some strength. He showed the ability to get to the second level. I think he's definitely a guy that, I guess, was blocked. I didn't see him doing a lot of, like, extracurricular work necessarily to make people miss. So, yeah, man, I mean, shit, he'll push some folks, though, right? Like, he has a chance to make a name for himself. I mean, Booby only has a year left, and so I know that Howie and the team are looking for some folks that might be able to fill out that running back room. Wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end up making the team, though.
No, I mean, it's a key point that you bring up because, I mean, you coming into the NFL, you got to be hungry to go ahead and get that spot. You got to earn it. Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you, man. I mean, the guy, he has to have that in the back of his mind. He's already in the bottom, you know, of the list. Yeah. It's all about getting to the top of the list, and you got to do whatever you got to do to get there. So, I mean, yeah, and it's like Gail mentioned, the way our running back situation is set up, anything can happen, though. I mean, like, you know, there's only, like, two out of the four guys right now that I could really say that are going to be solid. The other two could be hit and miss, and that'll be the opportunity for him to step in. But we'll see how
Absolutely.
It goes.
Absolutely.
T. Moore says, just off the Googles, I'm cool.
The goggles. Goggles.
That boy's slacking tonight.
Man, reading's hard.
Man's got 20/20.
Yo, you need some goggles, my boy.
Got the Eric Dickens. Moving right along, you know, as we get along, I know a lot of people are excited about Josh.
Yeah,
Job.
Sir, the next two for me, man.
The potential to come in and try and compete. Yeah. I mean, to think of a UDFA competing for CB2, I don't know all that, but I think he's got an opportunity to come in here and compete. You know, he's a Bama dude, so you always bet on Bama. Is that right? Is that what we're saying?
Hell yeah!
I mean, he did deal with some injuries, so the fact that he wasn't able to, you know, put his best foot forward last season, I feel like, you know, he's really, you know, I mean, that's why he fell. Like, a lot of people had him around mid rounds, fourth to fifth. Yeah. The fact that he fell out of the draft, you know, I know he's looking. I know he's hungry.
If he can come in here and give me Jalen Mills like production, that's a home run. Jalen Mills, obviously, he was seventh round pick. He dropped because of character concerns, but just another SEC cornerback. I trust the hell out of SEC cornerbacks, man. I honestly, like, it makes me wonder, like, as to why someone just didn't take a late round flyer on him. I mean, Alabama cornerback, dude's got some skills, man, to be able to compete in that division.
Absolutely. Well, we mentioned it, yo. Sorry, Prom. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was saying absolutely. That's all I said.
Yeah. I know we were talking during the draft, like Gail had mentioned it. Injuries was pushing dudes completely out of the draft. And Joe missed the college football playoffs, wasn't able to work out at the combine. And so he got them glasses that Gail need, bro. And so, yeah.
I got 20/20, guy.
You don't got 20/20. You lying now. You too old for 20/20. That shit degrade over time. But that's
I got 20/20.
But Joe, I'm excited about him, man. And they were talking about you, Hearn. You hit the nail on the head. The Jalen Mills comp. I think he's a more talented player than Jalen Mills. But the fact that he offers some back end flexibility between playing cornerback and playing safety. I loved his tackling. Like, his tackling was one of the things that really impressed me. He's gonna come up and mix it up. And for me, like, that's the definition of who's gonna make the bottom end of your roster in the secondary, because they have to play special teams. And he's somebody that's gonna always mix it up in a running game. So that excites me. Yeah, between him and Goodrich, yo, I think either or both of them end up making the 53 and end up really putting some fucking fire underneath the corners that are ahead of them.
Do you think he can make it over Zach?
Nah, I think Zach could get the nod because he's a fourth round pick and this is only his second year. I wasn't impressed with Zach McPherson last year, to be quite
Yeah, funny. I recently spoke with someone who spoke to Zach, and Zach said that he's in contention to compete for that number two cornerback spot. Hey, and I was like, okay, at the end of the day, I just want to see it.
It sounds like ultimately, at the end of the day, they are hell-bent on keeping Avante in the slot, which is where I want him to be.
That's
where he flourishes. But, like, if we end up going into this and we don't really have a guy that we see develop, do we have to push Avante to the outside if we have our arm twisted?
Worst case scenario.
I think
base Avante flourishes on the inside, so
I agree with.
I feel like base, but like, base package. If you want a 5-2, kick him outside and let him be the second corner on the field because he offers that tackling ability as well. If you want a nickel or a dime, it's you lose more than you gain by putting him outside. There has to be somebody, whether it's a free agent or one of the players currently on the roster or one of these UDFAs, that's going to battle for that CB2. I think you lose more than you gain moving him to CB2 and then putting somebody else in the slot.
Okay.
That's just
the other guy. I just mentioned Goodrich. He's a guy that people feel like both those dudes come in here and give us some. Hopefully, last time we expected a defensive back from Clemson to give us some. We got Kayvon Wallace.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting.
I was high on Kayvon, bro. I was excited about Kayvon, man.
He hasn't shown anything defensively, but I don't think he's the worst in special teams. I think Kayvon? He does make plays in special teams. I do. Yeah.
This is the year. I guess this is definitely the year.
It has to be the year, man. Yeah.
I mean, speaking of safety, Honey Badger off to the Saints.
Yeah, he's gone.
We knew that was going to happen, though. Come on, man. Like, it was one of those situations, and I kept saying it during the draft. Like, Honey Badger played his hand correctly, right? All these safety-needy teams that couldn't scoop somebody, he was in prime position. He was in pole position to be that guy. So, I'm sort of curious if we were talking about who could play in the slot. So, Kayvon Wallace played a ton of slot reps at Clemson. So, I'd be curious if he can't work as a deep safety or playing the cover two shells. If he's somebody that could kick down and maybe cover some of these tight ends, find some sort of usage for him. I was big on Kayvon, man. I feel like I'm doubting my ability to scout people now and shit. Because I was excited, yo. Nah. And I'm like, he just bottomed out.
We all kind of got like wrapped up in the whole Kayvon thing. I think it was the first safety we had drafted from Clemson since Dog. Right. So there's that. And we're all sitting here thinking, oh, we could potentially, you know, getting way excited that way. And then you see his online presence and he comes on Twitter and he's saying all the right things. He's talking that shit he even hits the field. Yo. And you're like, all right, this guy's got some dog in him.
Yeah.
And then he's just got a little chihuahua. Yeah, exactly.
He got the wrong kind of dog.
All that bark.
Yep. Nobody.
Yeah. But like Mario Goodrich fell too, yo, because of injuries. And so, you know, both of these corners that fell to UDFAs fell because of injuries, not because of on-field presence or potential. So I feel good, man, you know, considering the limited number of picks that the Eagles made to be able to scoop so many of these undrafted free agents that like legitimately could make your roster, right? Or end up protected on practice squad to give them a year to develop. And then in 2023, like they're coming in to really like chomp at the heels of the people on them in front of them on the depth chart. I'm just excited. Like, when was the last time that we could say we were this deep at all of these different important positions on the football field? Like,
it's been a minute,
it's been a long time.
And now, long time. I'll build on that. We still got two firsts to use next year.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's part of the whole draft landscape is the fact that not only did you add AJ Brown in with the, you know, for the 18th pick, but you also recruit
$5 million.
a first round pick next year and a second round pick in 2024. But I mean, overall, yeah. I mean, that's some nice value as we move along. I know some people are excited about Britton Covey.
Yeah.
It's a nice little last name.
I want you to point out all the people that are excited. Point them out.
Right here. Right. See?
I have my hand up.
Me lying.
I believe Britton Covey will get – he's in running for the Paul Turner Award. The fact that he's got some he's the smaller guy. Yeah, they'll call him the crafty dude. As a special teams punt return dude, check out some of his punt returns. He took one back against Ohio State, correct?
He loved those short wideouts.
And he was torching Oregon. He was cooking Oregon up. Oregon, we already know Oregon recruits some of the fastest kids in the country.
Tell Mark he's the biggest Oregon stan we have in here because he's from Oregon. Yeah.
Mark, what up, Mike Mark? Burr, your boys was getting cooked by this little 5'8", you know what I mean? 116-pound young boy right cook. Here. He was cooking them.
Cook. Go see now. Cook.
This little man's
song, you know, with a sasong and adobo in there.
he looked it up, bro.
Man looks like he's like you when you walk into Barnes & Nobles. Can you tell where the books is? Hey, sir, how are you? I got you. He had some crafty punt returns. So if you think at the end of the day, you know, you're looking for guys in the back end that have special team ability, Josh Blackwell from Duke, who could give you some ability on special teams. Mm-hmm. I know another guy that we were that Mal was pretty high on. First of all, go check out Mal's UDFA tracker on fourthandjohn.com.
Yes, sir.
He's doing a phenomenal job over there. You're high on Reed Blankenship.
Yo, kid could play. He could hit. He showed the ability to make some plays in the secondary. Has some interceptions. Was able to take a couple to the house, or at least one to the house, I believe. I like Reed. In a couple of the mock drafts I did, I took him in the mid rounds, like fifth round. I don't know. He's another one of these dudes that I could see becoming like a special teams maven. Like, I think the Eagles really did an excellent job of loading up on guys that have high upside in the that next piece, right? Like that special teams piece. You win and lose games playing special teams, yo. And so, you know, when you have guys that have the mentality to come out and be on kick coverage, be on punt coverage, and are absolutely looking to demolish people with whatever opportunity that they get, I think that's how you end up winning football games, the tight and close ones. And so Reed Blankenship checks that box for me. I don't know if he ever contributes as a safety, but shit, if you don't block him on punt coverage, he might kill your punt returner.
So
he's a three-time captain.
Yeah.
So
Josh Blackwell, the same, right? Like, you know, had 20 pass breakups and zero interceptions. So he doesn't really have the ball skills, but he's a willing tackler. And he's somebody that's going to like get in there and get his nose dirty. That's all I can ask for, man. Football is a game of like, yo, who's the toughest team most times is going to win? Who's the toughest? Who is the people that are going to give everything that they have for a win? And like, you drafting 2- and 3- and 4-time team captains. You drafting dudes that like have given their all to their programs. Hmm. I mean, I think that's a pretty national champions, right? Like folks that have won it at that level. You're building a culture, and not just talking about it, but like actually laying the foundation of what a successful NFL culture looks like.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Daz Deals, by the way. I know someone was making a comment about his Avi on YouTube. Man's upgraded his Avi to Cunningham. It's got the nice Kelly Green. So he's got a nice little vibe going on there. Shout out to you, Daz.
Go, Daz.
Don't think I forgot.
Yeah,
that's Bob. Shout out to Bob from Down Under, right?
Bob, it's like 1 a.m, baby, go to sleep. But we're glad to have you though, broski. But that's what I'm saying. A 4-3 gunner in Blackwell. You got a 4-3-7 dude in Kyron Johnson. Reed Blankenship is running 4.6s. all of these guys can hit, all of these guys are willing tacklers. It's like, holy hell, you know, that's the piece that you're missing in a lot of instances. You know, that's what made the Patriots so dangerous, is that they take guys that have no ego, that are going to go on whatever team you tell them to get on. If they're a starter, if they're a reserve dude, if they're fresh off the bench and never played a game in their life, they are going to give it 100%. And I think that's really what the Eagles have done a good job of over the past two seasons, at least, is like really identifying. It's not 30. Also, yeah, really identifying guys that'll give 100% effort, man, and shit, coach the rest.
Talk about 100% effort. I just want to shout out all the people in the chat who came on for draft day two of the draft, day three of the draft. You completely nerded it out. PFF had a stat that the Eagles were picking a pick every 3 hours, and you guys stuck it out.
Day three of the draft was brutal.
Shout out to Prime. He's doing birthday parties and doing it.
Yeah.
Like you're running around doing your thing.
You didn't miss anything, bro.
You didn't miss a damn thing. So hey, yo, we were up in there. Previous times, man.
How was the birthday party though?
It was great, man. My daughter. Nice. Yeah, it was a great turnout. Shout out to all the people that ended up showing her love that day. She had a great time. She was ecstatic, man. She wouldn't stop talking about it. And then yesterday was her actual birthday. So she went to school, had a little something with her friends at school. So, you know, she's still celebrating it, man.
Happy birthday. You know who else had a good time? AJ had a good time. She was laughing her ass off on the live stream. We were all laughing. I felt like we all kept each other going. There was at one point I was ready to dip after the
game was done. You took your hat off and looked up at the ceiling. He was like, "Why the fuck am I still streaming?"
We talked about nature for a solid hour.
Yeah, we were talking about hippos and spiders, scorpions.
I had this banner up for like an hour.
That Nat Geo, let's go.
I was just at a point where I was just like, dude, come on. Like, this is what I waited for. Like, come on, give us more juice. Like, it was probably the slowest day three I've seen in a while. But, hey, you guys kept it all fun and kept me entertained.
It was good to hang out with everybody and to hang out with the comment section to have people jump on. Like, we don't get to, you know, sit and actually, we get to read your guys' comments, don't get to actually talk to you face to face. So it was cool to have you guys jump on.
Absolutely. Yeah. I told my wife before we even like going into Friday, I was like, what I love so much about 4th and John is the commitment to the community. And the fact that, like, you know, you see some of these other live streams and like they want to box people out the process out of ego and all of these things. They don't want to give other people the platform to talk. And like, this is the complete opposite. We bringing on fans, laughing, joking, having a good ass time. It's like a family, man. And like, you know, I will forever be grateful to that. Shout out to Pete's $100 million camera. Oh. Yeah, I mean, the Hollywood camera.
Man. I was looking at John up. I was like, man, if you don't stop your shit.
I was on Amazon after that. I'm like, Pete's camera. I was like, all I did was
add it to the cart. That was it. That's about as far as I got when I saw
you,
that.
You bought
shit.
It?
I was like, you I bought mean, it? Just got added to the cart just listen, so I can listen. Keep seeing it.
I'm going to tell y'all right now.
Mal has the camera.
The bulk. I bought it, but what he paid for the camera body by itself. I got a lens and a bunch of other shit with it. Get it. Hit me. I got y'all. I'll send you the link to where you can find it. Get the bulk. Get the whole package deal, man. But it's a dope camera, though, without a question.
No, it definitely looked like a dope camera. Don't get me wrong. Yo, absolutely.
Pete looked like he was doing an Oprah interview. Yeah. And we were sitting out here like, bro, like.
My shit was grainy, dog. I was sweating. It was grainy. I'm like, shit.
Shout out to Bob. I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's really, you know, connecting with people all over. Like, Bob's out here in Australia. It's 9:30 in the morning watching Phillies out here. Yeah. So
we have folks from the UK, like all over the place.
We got genuine fans though too. Bro. Yeah, but like that's the thing that I like the most about our fans is
the crazies there.
Yeah, the crazies there. They're crazies, and they we're all like minded. We're all on the same page.
I'll talk about like-minded. Some of the back end guys are, you know, not just not, you know, I don't know if they're like-minded. That it really didn't make sense.
Dunkel.
No, but Bill Dunkel. That's a nice little name there.
Yeah.
Talking about Bill Dunkel. I mean, you're talking about a guy with he's got all his starts at right guard. Yeah. You know, he's got 32 games played, 30 games started. You know, what do you think of that haircut?
I don't know. Sharp. Man,
I was like, the mustache, bro. The mustache shaped up. He had the edge. He had the corner on the edges. That's, you know what I mean?
I mean, the dude's a massive human being at 6'4", 328.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all of the dudes, the offensive lineman, I like Dunkel.
Evan's not excited.
Like, that guy looks like he can fix a vending machine.
That boy is about the size. Yeah,
What am I thinking of? What was it? Pet detective, right? The Finkel.
Yeah.
That's what's coming to my mind.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now, man, I like them though. Of the undrafted, packages. Like him and Josh Sills. Him and Josh Sills, I thought could have a shot. Herbig, you know, getting released. I don't think that was accidental, right? Like, I think, you know.
Did that catch you by surprise? Requested that?
It didn't. It didn't. I don't think that it was surprising on the back end of these young guys getting brought in.
He requested to be released?
Yeah, his agent request. Through his agent, requested to be released. Wow. And so, yeah, man, I think that there's some promise there, bro, right? Like, if anybody has the coach to coach up undrafted free agents to do some shit in the NFL, we got the guy.
Yeah, we definitely got the guy.
No, he's like the he's like that. I'm trying to think. I mean, he's the Yoda. He's the Yoda. He's the Yoda.
So glad he didn't move to Alabama, man. That was huge to keep him. With the coach's transition.
Two other guys that I wanted to mention before, Noah Ellis,
big boy.
Yeah, dude, 6'4", 346, you know, got a man in the middle. Very excited in his photo. I mean, he got 240K, so you look at the money, that tells you what they think about some of these guys.
Yeah.
Added an edge rusher in Ali Fayed. EJ Perry from Brown University actually signed with the Jaguars today. He wants to eat the ice cream down there with Doug Peterson. We picked up Ali Fayed.
Did we not pick up EJ Perry? Was that like just a false rumor, or was that like,
well,
he got released apparently?
Gotcha.
Well, it was like he ended up signing with the Jags, but the thing is, they were waiting for Carson Strong to sign. So and they ended up signing EJ Perry, and then But I mean overall, I mean, like, you know, these are guys at the back end of the roster, guys. Remember guys were super high on Trayvon Grimes. They almost had t-shirts. They had, you know, they had like arm tats.
That,
like,
never gonna let people insane, forget that shit, bro. Huh?
That shit
like Prime has Canseco on his arm. People were out here trying to get.
Yo, Canseco's like a Hall of Famer, though, bro.
I know, but
Trayvon Grimes. I mean, what, like, the hell that guy
so
do?
So crazy for Trayvon Grimes. I'm like, relax. That was the one thing out of all season last year that pissed me off the most was the Trayvon Grimes stance. I don't know why it bothered me so much, but I was like, come on, man.
I brought Landon Collins in a conversation the other day. You fear he's more of a box safety, Gale?
I think at this point in time in his career, yeah. Like, I feel like,
dude, he's not, you know, old, bro.
No, it's not about the old. It's just at, you know,
His
role is probably suitable more for a box safety than back at the end of, you know.
He's always been that guy, right? Like, Landon Collins has always been who he is.
And we already got Harris, so it's like, what do we, you know. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, I think people are now grasping for, like, what's next. Because it's CB2 and it's safety. And then, you know, The Epps hive will let you know too.
Does that strike fear into you guys at all for this year? I mean, I think the fact that we have a weak secondary as a whole, our corners and our safeties, that just makes me feel like we got to put up like 24 points a game just to be able to stay in this thing, bro.
Well, what about Bradbury? Bradbury's about to get released.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Yeah, Arizona need Arizona got any safeties we could grab?
My thing with
who's the Clark? Who's the Chuck
Clark from the Ravens?
Ravens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about Chuck Clark. My thing with Bradberry, he's gonna still demand some bread on the open market, right? Like how he's made it very clear he's not going over whatever number they set for a player. And I don't know that they're gonna be able to compete with whatever number Bradberry is looking for. If I'm Bradberry, I take a little bit less to join the Eagles to play the Giants two times a year and really be able to prove that, like, they made a big-ass mistake letting me go.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Plus, you combine it with Darius Slay, so you're not going to be tasked with chasing ones all day. And for me, Bradberry's best years were in Carolina, where he played off-man zone, and he was able to, like, not chase folks all around the field but play one stationary side, which is sort of similar to what Gannon is probably looking to do this year, right, if he has two really good corners. And so I'd be in on Bradberry at the right price. I mean, I think that's the caveat for any player.
Speaking of JG's defense, Trey Waynes with Xavier Rhodes. I think people Kevin have been King. Saying Kevin King.
Kevin
I
King.
To, I was trying to say it before you.
Kevin King, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Kevin King, man, please. Please.
I'm, he had I'm his start, best year I'm of his starting career, the Okuda right? Hive, bro.
Okuda Hive.
Bob says, something. You think cutting?
I'm with it.
Bob says, you think cutting Herbig to free up $2.4 million shows how tight we are up against the cap?
I think that was more of a Herbig's personal decision type thing. Yeah. I think Herbig is trying to seek a more of a role in the offense.
Yeah.
He's trying to change the name to He Big. Like, I'm bigger than this. I'm bigger than this place.
Okay? And the salary cap isn't real, so none of that matters.
I saw a comment in there as we close out. The dad says the interview this morning, he said, "Don't worry, I got you," with Anthony. Was it Anthony? No, he was with
Cataldi.
Angelo Cataldi. He's like, "Don't worry, I got you guys. I got you." Like, he was very animated. Like, he was like, pretty much like, "Come on, give me some credit. Like, I got you a Super Bowl, right?"
Yeah.
You know, like, right before you died, right? Like, he's pretty much like, just have faith. I think at this point in time, it's really about, like, if you step back and look at it, our team from last year, and the fact that we added Jordan Davis, Hassan Reddick, N'Kobe Dean, which you and your whole lineage did not think we were going to get N'Kobe Dean in the third. You got AJ Brown on the offensive side of the football. You got a 1A and a 1B. That's what we've been asking for.
I think Howie is starting to crawl himself out of that rumor as well. I mean, the past two draft, we have to see how this one plays out, because I don't want to come out here and say, you know, he killed this draft before we actually see the fruits of his labor here. But I feel confident in how he did. I think that this was a good draft, and I think that we built up the defensive side of the ball just tremendously.
Yeah.
But last year, I can definitely say that was a good draft. I think Howie is turning it around, man. He's starting to dispel that rumor that, you know, he's not as trash of a drafter as everybody makes him out to be.
And Mark says, "Did you guys see Dillard's new body putting in some work in the gym?"
Yeah.
Bro, he looks like, that's the one thing. When he was drafted, our first podcast, I said, he's got to grow into that body. He's got to, like, you know, have a, because he started at Washington State at 240. So it's a guy that's been trying to be put on weight. He's at around, what, 320 now?
Something like that, yeah. Looking good.
You're talking about 80 pounds of, like, since his freshman year to now. Like, he finally looks like he's in his NFL body. But I don't know. He's also part of the Prime fan club. He has the Prime helmet in his collection. Let's see. Adam has a question here. He says, "Who do you guys want starting at right guard? Sumalo, Driscoll, or Juergens?" I'm gonna go Sumalo.
Yeah, that's one that makes the most sense to me. I mean, he's got the most experience, and Juergens is more of a true center.
Yeah. I like Driscoll too, man. I'm not gonna hold you. I definitely like Driscoll. But I think
Driscoll's, you give that
nod to Sam Mallow, and you know that you have Driscoll in the wings just in case.
Sam Mallow's low key been on the team for a minute, bro.
Yeah, hot one. Long ass time. He came in the same class as Big V, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think
Palatero. Palatero said he wants Dillard at guard.
Fuck no. Did he get his ass kicked between his ears every play? Nah, my boy.
There's something about like playing guard. You gotta be like,
you gotta be a beast. You gotta be a monster.
You wanna fight in a phone booth type of deal. Yep.
And put me in a phone booth with him. Let me rough him up. But you put him on an island, put him on the edge, and that's a different conversation. But he's never been that type of player.
Right.
Now, Bob, well, this will probably be our final question of the night, as we are just in love with talking draft, but in the Eagles. The real concern was, did Howie Lurie learn from Doug in the Schwartz time? How much are they listening to Gannon and his needs? Looks like they really are this time around helping his scheme ideas on O. Not sure. I mean, he did make mention that the way that they're selecting their players, it has nothing to do with the scheme. Like in terms of like getting, you know, value,
right.
getting superior prospects in here. At the end, like if you start overthinking shit, then that's where you get in this situation. You bring in players. Like I think those two players, Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, bring a winning culture. They bring what they talk about N'Kobe Dean, when they describe him, they say selfless. In Jordan Davis's presser, what is the word that he used? Selfless. All those dudes that want to come in here and form like Voltron and be a part of something. That's not one over the other. That's a part of something. So I feel like that, you know, that kind of let that marinate in the locker room. I need that. I need. Though I keep on going back to like stuff like Rager and like the individualism of like all the shit going on. He's thinking about taking his, you know, IG stuff down. He's just like it's not like
dog in him, bro.
And that's not a selfless move either. It's about me. You know what I mean? It's about
who called AJ Brown after
Jalen?
Devontae Smith called. I don't know if Jalen called him, but
no, Devontae was on that phone with him, bro. Couldn't wait to get him in Philadelphia to get the fucking pressure off of him to be that only guy. Like it's just exciting, man. It's exciting. Shout out to Owachita, to Uwakuda State Baptist, bro. I got class after this to get my motherfucking theology. You know what I'm saying? So I'm about to be in class, baby. Owachuda, Division II, baby. Let's get it.
Owachuta State. You guys have any last words before I get there out of here? I know Prime looks like he's about to eat something. He's like, I'm about to eat my hand.
Boy, leaning off this.
It's Taco Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday. I went from work to work, so you know, I mean, I'm trying to go eat.
Let me also say, since you brought up Taco Tuesday, I finally threw some Riviera hot sauce on some tacos.
I'm waiting. Ready to go, bro.
Bro. Word? Fuego, bro. Upstairs. Really good. Really good.
Yeah. It's upstairs, ready to go.
All three of my fajitas had the jalapeno.
Oh, man. All my last words is, as always, thank y'all for having me. Yo, man, just glad to be a part of this team and just working with you dudes. And just a part of a passionate fan base of knowledgeable people. You know, this was a great draft. Excited for rookie camp. Really excited for training camp. To see these guys go after it. But no matter who makes that 53-man roster, is arguably the strongest roster we've had. I would even say potentially past 2017 within the past 10 years, man. So a bunch of really good football players. So excited.
Prime.
I'm hungry. I want to go eat. I want to go play with my kids, man.
I was about to say,
everybody Jordan. Have a good night.
I was about to say that Michael Jordan meme, but I was like, this is a family show.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that.
And they just had birthdays too.
Don't do that to the babies, man.
Evan.
I just want to send another little golf clap to Howie Roseman for keeping it simple, stupid during the draft, man.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, try to be the smartest guy in the room. He went after guys that were proven talents. He went after guys that went and won a championship at the college level. I can't fault you for these picks because that's exactly how I would have done it. So, you know, well done, Howie.
Yeah. Nah, Jay Cross, I mean, that's going to be me, man, on 2K in a second.
Yeah. Oh. We got to get now. Yeah. Now that the draft is over, like we spent ridiculous amounts of time watching film. I do want to shout out you guys during this draft season. You guys putting in the work, man.
You as well, bro.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we can get our lives back because
I'm already turning to 2023, bro. Like it's my life. Like I'm busting film up already.
I don't want to see Dane Brugler's name for another 6 months at least.
Yeah. I mean, to all you guys who stuck it out like during draft season, I appreciate you guys. But overall, just talking about this team as we close out, we did some good things, man. Like I said, we because somebody like you said we.
Nah, we
like,
did it yeah, too,
we,
bro.
We
he helped.
This team put in some work. The fact that we have AJ Brown, that just I cannot believe it. Hassan Reddick, cannot believe it. The fact that we got Jordan Davis to beef up the middle, cannot believe it. The fact that we got N'Kobe Dean, cannot believe it. So I'm on a real time high right now. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the next news to drop because I can't get enough. Can't get enough. But appreciate you guys. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Can't get enough. Hit the goddamn button.
Can't get enough, bro. Can't get enough.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.